Hi, everyone. I'm Shelly, and you're watching There's No Place Like Home. Well, we tried to do a live stream, and you know how technology is. I told Donita, technology doesn't like me, and I don't like it. So the live stream was a wash, but I still am here with Donita, and we are still going to talk about mud floods, just like we were originally planning on it. So yes, that's the next question, the narrative topic today. We're going to talk about mud floods. What could have possibly caused the mud flood? And who were the builders of the buildings that were buried in, or at least half buried in these mud floods? But Donita, thank you so much for being with me today. And did you just want to give a little introduction to who you are? I'm sure most people by now, because I mention you all the time, I'm sure they know who you are, but go right ahead.
Hopefully, I am a fifth generation Oklahoma Panhandle homesteader and award-winning journalist. My website is like, I try to bridge the gaps between conspiracy theories, news, and prophecy, and take that knowledge and put it into action, learning traditional skills and preparing for those inevitable dust storms of life. I have a magazine, and we have this last year's magazine in a full book this year available on Amazon. So that's some of the fun stuff that I do.
And on top of that, do you mind if I share what state you live? I think you actually did say what state you live
in. I said Oklahoma. Yes. Okay. It is legal to hunt Bigfoot here.
Yes, that's why I was going to tell everyone. If you stick around to the end of the video, I'm going to ask Donita about the cryptids, because you've got more than Bigfoot, don't you?
We do.
See? So that's going to be a little bonus at the end of this.
And we're not counting the cowboys. They don't care.
I think that they'd be happy to hear that. Or maybe not. You never know. So, mud flood. It's a huge topic. And, you know, it's something that's been going on for years now. And the thing is that we still don't have a really good handle on what it could be. And I think that this is something that we may never know, this side of heaven. But it's fun to think about what could have caused all of these mud floods. If you don't know what mud floods are, if you will look back in a lot of old pictures, you will just see piles of mud everywhere next to these buildings. And on top of the piles of mud, you will find half buried buildings. And in fact, some buildings are completely buried in mud, which, you know, really begs the question, how many mud floods have there been? And in fact, are they mud floods at all? Because that's, I think it's a broad name that we use for something that happened that we're not quite sure what it is, but we do know that it involved lots of mud because we see that from the pictures. There had to have been some sort of, at the very least, soil liquefaction, something that caused the sinking of these buildings. And yes, there are at times completely buried buildings too that people don't even know about until they dig, maybe for foundation. Sometimes when they're putting in sidewalks, they might find this, that there are houses that have doors that are 7 feet high and they are completely underground. So a lot of people will say, oh, well, those, the windows, and this is what I'm talking about, just windows. I was just mentioning doors, but with the windows. Well, those are put in to give light in the basement. Well, okay, yes, I will give you that there are houses that were built that way for there to be lights in the basement. However, if you actually look underneath some of these buildings, you will find that those windows, some of them extend like 3 feet below ground. And you have to ask yourself, why? And then a lot of these buildings have doors next to those windows, and some of those doors are completely buried underground. And so that has nothing to do with letting in light. And you certainly can't open up that door and walk out into the dirt. So why was it there? And that's really the gist of what mud floods are. So I wanted to talk today about what are some possibilities for what could have caused the mud flood. And I want to know who built a lot of the buildings that we look at and we're like, wow. They tell us that we didn't have much technology in the 19th century, yet they're making these beautiful buildings. And the further back you go in time, the more extravagant they get. So what's going on? So what theories do you have, Donita, on this topic?
Well, we live in a house here that was here. It was one of the first ones kind of built out in this time period whenever this area was settled, supposedly. And it was already here in like 1919. So we're not sure exactly what the date was, but it was here during the Dust Bowl, right? And the Dust Bowl was really, really bad out here in this area. And you could tell that the foundation of the house was, you know, a lot different than before, whenever it was first built. It had a crawl space under it. And outside of the house, this was one of the first houses out here that had like running water. And they had a windmill outside that pumped water into a big tank upstairs. And that gave running water in the house. But they didn't have a bathroom in the house, right? So there was a wash house outside and then an outhouse. Well, the wash house, every year, we have to go in and clean the dirt out of the wash house because it's so far down into the ground now from what it was. And it's got a cement floor and stuff. But and we've been going through another Dust Bowl. So there's that as well. But just the Dust Bowl, and hopefully everybody's heard of the Dust Bowl, put these buildings and stuff out here several feet under dirt. And so if that could do that, then, you know, what about some of these other big things that happen just that we know of in like the Bible?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And then since then, what could have happened as well? And when we got to looking about it, you know, whenever we think of a flood, we think of the flood, the great flood, right?
Yes.
And I think definitely like Sacsahuaman, the Great Pyramid, some of those big, like megalithic structures were definitely pre-flood. But then there's some things that you have a hard time like picturing a cathedral with the fancy windows and all the intricate outside pieces and stuff actually living through the flood, making it through a worldwide flood event. So I'm assuming that was built after the flood. But then, yeah, like the big Mormon temple in Salt Lake City, it was John Levi, right? That mm-hmm. was recently showing them getting down onto the foundation of that and how deep it goes and stuff. And who knows
several
how deep
stories it. Deep, right?
Yeah. It's yeah. Several who knows exactly deep. How deep. So for something that huge to be buried that deeply, we're talking, it's hard to imagine like the Great Flood, but what happened for, you know, for that to happen? And there are several instances in the Bible that are mentioned. We've been told that those cathedrals and stuff were built in the Middle Ages or something. And that particular building, even though it's exactly like so many of the cathedrals over in Europe and whatnot, that one was only built in the 1800s by, you know, a few hundred Mormons put that booger up, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's just, it's kind of like that one down in South America that's built on the side of a cliff. It's yes. like, oh yeah, the Spanish monks came over here with the conquistadors and they built that on the side of a cliff with that amazing looking bridge with it. And it's like, really? Okay.
Yeah, something doesn't add up here.
Yeah, something doesn't. And then I think you mentioned on one of your videos, the soil liquefaction one day. And we've seen videos online of that happening today, of earthquakes, mudslides, things like that, that can cover a town in like minutes. So I'm sitting here thinking for that to happen all over the world, you know, God promised he wouldn't flood the earth again.
Right.
But what else has happened since then? And of course, you know, something could have happened since Jesus came that we just haven't been told about.
Yes.
you know,
and sometimes I think that we put it in a box and we think that it must have happened all over the world at one time again. But it's a possibility that there have been multiple events that have affected different parts of the world as well. I don't think that it necessarily has to be one huge event that affected everything. It could have been. I'm not saying that that's not a possibility, but we need to think about that too, that it might not have affected everything at once.
Yeah. I've thrown the boxes away.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it, every time I learn something new, it's like you pull it out of the box and then you pull it and you start drawing lines in the sand and saying, okay, this is where I'm at in my belief. And I realized last night that, you know, I'm not drawing lines in the sand anymore. I've got a circle drawn around me and God. Mm-hmm. And everything outside of that is up for.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. I love that illustration. That's great. One thing that I do think about the biblical flood, though, because there are a lot of people who believe that the mud flood is the biblical flood. And there are a lot of people who believe that, yes, even some of those castles and some of those cathedrals could have been from before the biblical flood. And my question is, I know that a lot of the castles used to use tapestries in their windows because they did not have glass in their windows. So to me, that lends credence to the idea that possibly could they have gone through a flood, and even if they would have had glass in those windows, that after the flood, they still would have been far more technologically advanced than what we are. And is it possible that they may have been refurbished? Just a question that I have.
Yeah, I think a lot of those buildings, that's not what they were for.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think the castles were originally for people to live in. Mm-hmm. I don't think the pyramids were places of burial. And the cathedrals, I definitely believe, were places of healing, like a hospital type thing.
Yes, with the frequencies and the Antiquitech.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yes. And, you know, I can imagine some of the castles maybe living through the flood. That kind of makes sense. But like I said, some of these buildings have got very intricate detail on the outside, much less on the inside, but on the outside. So that makes me think post-flood. Definitely.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got several different styles, but you can kind of group the styles of the architecture, you know, and people have grouped them and said, this is from this time period. This is from this time period, unless it's in America and we were just copying everybody.
Yeah. Because we can't have any ancient history here. No.
Right. Right. And of course, people nowadays, we've been so trained out of going back to the Bible for history or science. But the Bible mentions several other times that something happened. The days of Peleg are definitely one of those. Now, the days of Peleg could have been talking about the Tower of Babel and people being dispersed. But it said in those days, the earth was divided. Mm-hmm. That could mean that something big happened and actually divided, you know, the continents or something like that, too. You know, again, I threw the box away, guys.
Yes.
But there's other places in the Bible, too, because we've been talking about this here lately. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what about this? You know, it's talking about mud in the streets in Zechariah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Would you mind, because you shared a bunch of flood verses with me. Would you mind sharing? You don't have to share all of them, but just a couple of them, just to give everyone the idea of what you can actually find in the Bible about floods.
Yes, yes. And whenever you're looking, you can look up a couple of different things. And I look up King James and ESV are the two that I use personally. So Zechariah 9:3 and Zechariah 10:5 both talk about mud in the streets. It's talking about Tyre has built herself a rampart, and heaped up silver like dust and fine gold like mud in the streets. And then in 10:5, it says, they shall be like mighty men in battle, trampling the foe in the mud of the streets. They shall fight because the Lord is with them. I mean, yeah, this could be metaphorical, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm real big on believing that God's word is three, if not four dimensional, and that it meant something to the people of that day. It meant something to the people immediately after that time, especially the prophetic stuff. And it means something to us today. And whenever you're reading scripture, it means something to you whenever you're 20. It means something different when you're 40. It means something different when you're 60. You know,
right.
it's just, it grows with us, right? Or we grow with it or something. So, you know, in 1 Kings 19, 10 or 11 through 12, it talks about, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And this is Elijah, and God is showing himself to Elijah. Now, whether or not, you know, this was just, could have been just that little area where he was at the moment, or it could have been something big going on, because, I mean, this is God and big things are happening, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the thing is that this is Old Testament. And so we've got to think about the timeline, because when most people think of Old Testament, they think of things thousands and thousands of years ago. And Old Testament very well could have been thousands and thousands of years ago. However, since we know that they've been messing with history, and we don't exactly know when we are right now, and we really don't know how far back the Old Testament really was. And if we are going to apply verses like that to the possibility of the evidence that we see of mud floods now, it definitely would have been something more recent rather than just thousands and thousands of years ago, especially with some of these buildings that are only half buried. Now, I can see some of the buildings that are completely buried and you dig underneath the foundation of a house. That could possibly be further back in time. However, if you're looking just at what we see, for example, with the Capitol buildings or the post offices or the lunatic asylums that just seem to have been buried, but not as far back as what we think of when it comes to the Old Testament.
Well, and you get back into Europe and the Middle East and stuff, and then they'll talk about the tells and how the towns were built on top of a town. Yes. On top of a town on top of a town. We don't have that excuse out here, but we see the same thing. You know, we are in one of the highest elevations in the flat of the plain out here. We're in a higher elevation. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, and everybody who lives around this hill here, about 3 o'clock in the morning, it gets hot and it feels like it's coming up from the ground. And it's not a temperature that you can like measure, but it's just like everybody wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's hot all of a sudden. So, you know, my theory, personal just craziness theory here, is that we could be sitting on top of a pyramid or something, because it's a big sand hill. There's tons of sand out here. And I would love to know, you know, what is it that's underneath us? And considering all the cryptid sightings that are out in this area, you know, are they living underneath us? And Paul always remembers there was an oil field out on the rig, because this is oil field country out here. One of the guys one time saying, I don't know what they're drilling for, but it ain't oil and gas. And it's just stuck with him, you know, all this time. What are they really doing?
Yes. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Another thing that I was thinking that it could possibly be the mud flood is could be the result of an earthquake. And I mentioned soil liquefaction, and there are so many earthquakes mentioned in the Bible. I looked it up and I don't know if it's accurate, but what I found is that there are 27 separate verses about earthquakes in the Bible. And the big one that most people think of is in Revelation 16. But there are others that you have mentioned that you think are very possible, could have at least caused possibly some of what we're seeing when it comes to these buildings. And I know that you have mentioned when Jesus was crucified and he died, and there was a huge earthquake, and the tombs were opened. Something else that no one talks about.
Yeah, something but, else. And you know, I realized today that that is also mentioned in Daniel. Daniel, actually, whenever he was talking about the coming of the Lord, he said in chapter 9, and after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood. And to the end, there shall be war and desolations are decreed. So it's not necessarily saying earthquake right there, but
right,
you know, but it's talking about a flood, and we know that's not a big worldwide flood or anything, but and it could be a flood of army soldiers, or again, it could be metaphorical. But yes. I thought that's very interesting because that is specifically talking about when Jesus comes, and then in Matthew 28, there was a great earthquake. Not only when he was crucified, but then again, whenever he came out of the grave.
Yes, when the tomb was rolled away.
Yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, there was a lot of shaking up going on.
Absolutely. There's so many opportunities for this. And again, it just makes you wonder, are these things much more recent than what we picture when we think of even the New Testament events? And I know that we've talked about this before. There are many people who believe that there was an earthquake possibly if we would be in the little season right now, which again, I told you I'm up in the air with. I think it's interesting to think about. If we would be in the little season of Revelation 20, when Satan is released or was released, could that have caused a major earthquake? Because you would think there would be some sort of upheaval. But again, I don't want to put words in the Bible, but speculation here, what kind of effect would that have had, or would that have had? Or in fact, even when he was bound at the beginning of the 1,000 years, could that possibly have come with some sort of seismic activity? Because that, in my opinion, would have been huge.
Now that we know what we know about the hollow earth and stuff, and I feel like there are enough accounts that have been shared and documents that are being found and shared around and stuff, that, yeah, if we really seriously think that the things going on down there aren't affecting us in some way, yeah, I totally think. And we've got accounts from history, from the Middle Ages or whatever. And like you said, there's no telling when that was actually. But, you know, we've got paintings and tapestries and drawings and, you know, several accounts from all over the world of some pretty amazing disruptions happening. And they depict everything covered in mud, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And that actually brings me to the next thing that I was going to talk about, is that so many people bring up the idea of some sort of plasma event that could have caused this mud flood. And I'm going to be the first to admit that I haven't looked very much into the plasma event. I know that many people believe that it is cyclical. And I believe that Archaic, the channel Archaic, he actually talks about something called the Phoenix event. I'm going to admit, I did start watching one of his videos. They're very long. And unfortunately, my house isn't quiet long enough for me to watch extremely long videos. So I haven't gotten to look into it as much as I wanted. But I did find something very interesting on a plasma event today. They actually likened it. Well, first of all, they said that the plasma event is called by some sort of celestial event that actually opens up a portal in the sky. And they likened it to the verse in Revelation where the heavens will recede like a scroll. And if you think about it, opening up a portal in the sky, heavens receding like a scroll, I was like, wow.
And why would we have some of the things in the movies and the TV shows like the Stargate, and it looks like a plasma thing in the Stargate? There are so many instances of that. And we got a set of the Ghibli Studio or Ghibli Studio. Somebody correct me on that. We got like the whole set recently. And the children were watching. I didn't watch this one, but it was about the war over there. And this is from Japan. So they've got a different history.
Was that Grave of the Fireflies? I don't know if
it might have been. It might have been. But sad. Yeah, they've got a little bit different take on history and perspective on the history of World War II than what we have. And Paul and the children were like, that definitely showed the quote unquote nuclear event as a firestorm type event instead. And yes. It looks just exactly like what happened supposedly during the Civil War out here. If you look at the pictures of the Civil War devastation, it looks very, very similar. So, yeah. I think we've had a lot better technology, not nearly as long ago as we think.
Yes, that was actually one thought that I had when it came to the builders of some of these buildings. I was thinking, could it just have been us building these, but we just have completely lost, or I should say, have had those memories stolen from us, that we don't even know what we were once capable of, because it's very possible that some sort of reset may have been man-made, or I don't know how. I don't want to give them too much power, okay? Yeah. But we see that they're trying to do some sort of reset now. So it didn't have to be something, a mega worldwide event. But something definitely happened that they've completely stolen our history from us. They've stolen the knowledge of what sort of technology we once had. And so a lot of times we will liken it to, was it the fallen angels who built these beautiful buildings? Was it the Nephilim? Was it pre-flood? And it very well could have been any of those things. But I was also thinking, could it have just been us? And our ancestors, obviously not this generation, but our ancestors.
Well, they're always talking about the Industrial Revolution. You know, and things like that. And it's like people wore nothing but robes and sandals for thousands and thousands of years and all of a sudden invented buttons and buckles. And I sew, so that clicks with me. But yeah. I think some of the steampunk ideas and stories and stuff are probably more true than what we've been told.
The Antiquitech is very steampunk, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so that's exactly what it reminds me of.
And they had flying ships. We have photographs of the flying ships. That's what we consider steampunk, you know? So, yeah, I think there was a lot more to it. I don't think it was just a bunch of crazy women trying to make themselves look misshapen, wearing, you know, cages on the rear ends and stuff. I think there was more to it. I don't know that it was more than just a fashion thing, but I don't know that it wasn't more than that either.
That's interesting. I've never even thought about that.
It just makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, what's the real purpose?
Why would, I mean, it could have been, like you said, for aesthetics, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't either. I've really kind of wondered, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, if you think about it, then once they were using horses and buggies for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. And then all of a sudden, what was it? The late 19th century, early 1900s, we had cars, we had planes. All of a sudden, we just had this huge burst of technology. Well, guess what? I'm thinking that was always there. It wasn't something that was lost. It was there. How it came about again there, I don't know. Could it have been coming out of a reset? Could it have been watchers?
And there's evidence of it. I mean, in India, there are carvings of bicycles, helicopters, airplanes, scooters, you know, and we've got photographs, pictures, and things of people riding, you know, scooters and all kinds of stuff that we think is relatively new. And Yeah.
They had the Vimanas in the Indian, I don't want to say mythology, but in the Indian folklore, they have Vimanas as well. And the descriptions of these Vimanas, they are very, very technical with how these Vimanas worked, how they were built. And scientists who have actually looked into these Vimanas say that, yes, this theoretically could have worked.
Yeah. And how else are you going to get Aztec lines? You know,
right.
Things right. like that. I mean, it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Right.
And more images and stuff are coming up. And yes, I know people can Photoshop now. And I know Photoshopping, actually painting and doctoring the photos, has been going on for a long time. Ever since there have been photographs, you know, ladies want their waist a little trimmer and things like that. So there has been a form of Photoshop.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
Definitely.
I realize that that's a thing, and trick photography and stuff like that. And, you know, those are fun things. But, you know, there's so much of it because we think, oh, this photographer was having fun. But when you really get to digging, you find so much of the stuff. And then is it the archivist on YouTube?
With analog, I think.
Something like that. He actually goes through the old, the archives of the newspaper archives, you know, and he goes through and reads. I don't have the attention span to sit there and listen to him read that, but it's fascinating. If he would just give me the links underneath the thing and I could go read it myself, then that would work a lot better for me. But I'm glad that he's doing it. It's fascinating. Yes. He's got a good following. He's educating people. That kind of stuff is great. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm subscribed, and I'm hoping to one day have the attention span and to have a house quiet enough
to be able to do it,
to be able to listen, but I'm waiting for that day.
Maybe we can have a little retreat one of these days, and that's what we'll do.
Yes. Yes. Let's do that, please. But we have to do it in Oklahoma because I also want to hunt Bigfoot in the midst of it, because I told my husband, I said, when all of our children are grown, I want to hunt Bigfoot. That's what I want. I want to travel the country in an RV. And I said it half in jest, but I actually think it would be fun. But now that we have a grandchild on the way, I'm like, I don't know, that might keep me here. So that's more important than Bigfoot.
But, right. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, oh, excuse me. So, even if we think about back to antediluvian times, though, yes, even the regular people had far more technologically advanced knowledge than what we do. So yes, the buildings, we often will credit the Nephilim with building them, which they could have, absolutely. And we could credit even the fallen angels with building these buildings. But I think people at that point in time also had the knowledge. I keep repeating myself.
Well, and not just that, they, you know, the atmosphere was different. People have found if they spend time in like a barometric chamber that I don't remember what those are called, but you know, where you can get the pressure, more pressure on you and stuff, that it really helps with the getting your brain more oxygenated and stuff. And really helps with your healing of your body and stuff like that. I think they had that before the flood. The world was less cursed. The land was less cursed than what it is since.
It's been a snowball effect.
Yeah. So they were stronger. They, you know, there are physical issues that we're dealing with today that I don't think they had to deal with, you know. So, and plus, if you live 800 years, I mean, what I've accomplished in 50, if I could do 500, how much more could I accomplish? You know, how many books could I write
in
500 years?
That's something that I don't think about very often, but it's true. You do learn more and more and more as time goes on. And I think that a lot of us, we think of them that they must have been really, really old most of their lives, because that's we see an 80-year-old and they've almost tapped out at that point in time. But at that time, 400 years old really would not have been very old. And on top of that,
a lot of them didn't start having children until after they were 100.
Right. Right.
So yeah, 100 would have been like our 20, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that actually, remember, we were both reading the Smoky God book, and I believe it said that the giants in that story that were living inside the earth, they lived hundreds of years and didn't start having children until they were in their 70s. Now, again, that's like, it's considered fantasy fiction, which I question that. But, you know, it goes back to that whole idea of these people. And they were also taller at that point in time. I'm going to make that guess, that if everything else was taller because of the higher oxygen levels in the atmosphere, it is very possible that, yes, the people may have been taller too, which could explain these taller entranceways to some of these buildings. Now, yes, it could have also been the Nephilim, because we know that they were giants. And I think that, well, you and I have talked about this, much, much taller than your typical giant, than like Goliath,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even the smaller doorways in some of the cathedrals and stuff, you know, they have the three doorway thing, and the middle doorway is like huge, but the side doorways aren't small, you know, right. they're pretty big themselves, and hardly ever do our modern doors fill up half that doorway. And so many buildings, it doesn't even have to be cities. It can often be in some of the larger towns, even out here. There are, you know, where the bricks were in an archway.
Yes, we have those here.
Yeah, way above what the doorway is. And it's like, why? But even Abraham Lincoln talked about the giants, and he was a big guy.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to... A lot of times people will try to explain away those tall doorways by saying, well, they needed to have enough space for people to ride in on their horses. They were riding into buildings on their horses. And they also with the castles and the palaces. And I can understand, because a lot of the castles had a courtyard where, yes, but that's typically, I mean, I'm looking at mostly movies, but I'm thinking drawbridge is something completely different, but the castles themselves, the palaces where, for example, the kings lived, they had huge doors, which were, I would say they could be
20
feet tall. And you're not that tall on a horse. You don't need that.
Yeah, exactly. We have a horse that is half thoroughbred, and he came out very big, and he probably could have won the Triple Crown. He is about 18 hands, which is very large for that type of horse. And yeah, I don't need a doorway that big to get on him and go. I'm going to need a pretty big one, but not that big. Yeah.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And you know, we were also talking that it's also very possible after the flood, they still would have had the technology that we do not have. There is some thought that the spurious sciences were still taken over, which is how they may have built Babel. That would have been a huge undertaking, something that we can't even wrap our brains around. It would have had to have been that huge. So it's very possible that these buildings could also be around that time too, when they still did. And if you notice, and you were talking about the buildings kind of being grouped, and I think that's exactly right. And if you think about it, I wrote them down because I knew that I would not remember all of them. But so we have the very lavish buildings like the castles. And I'm not talking about the megalithic structures like pyramids and everything. I'm talking about what we would look at as buildings, which obviously the megalithic structures are still buildings, but I think you know what I mean.
Right.
But we
right.
have these beautiful palaces. I was looking at palaces in Germany today, castles in Germany, beautiful on these high mountains. And I'm just looking at this thinking, how could a primitive civilization have built such beautiful palaces on a mountain? Imagine lugging all the materials up that
or mountain. Out in the middle of the ocean.
Yes.
On a rock in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. I mean, Yeah, outside of France and Spain, there's some of those that are out in the ocean. And it's like, and it's always the monks build it. So we've got this joke that goes around our house. Oh, the monks build it, you know. Yeah. And we used to think whenever the Catholic Church would find something interesting that they would build a church on top of it. And I still think they did in some instances do that, like South America, to cover things up. Ah, build a church on it. But then some of the stuff, I think the church is just the very top of the building.
Oh, yeah.
And
what's, you know, underneath?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have one level down. There's, like you were mentioning before, the cathedrals, like Notre Dame. I remember watching that burn years ago. It was so sad. But at that point in time, I just thought that it was sad that a piece of history was being incinerated. But now we look back on it and we're like, yes. And we're like,
I was angry.
Who did that? Someone did that.
Yes, somebody did that. That's right. I think they did it on purpose. There was something there that people were starting to notice and ask questions about, and they didn't want people to know. Yeah.
Yes.
Totally, totally believe that. And they try to say that those are in just certain types of the, in certain parts of the world, you know, it's the Byzantine area and the Byzantines did all this, you know.
Yes.
Like, yeah, but that doesn't account for them in different, in other places. Well, they're just copying. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's an easy explanation. Kind of gravity. Gravity is the catch-all explanation for science, and they're copying architecture is the catch-all explanation for history, in my humble opinion.
And I'm like, well, if it's that easy to copy, I want one. Yeah. I've got 50 acres right here. Build me one.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'll come live out there with you and hunt cryptids.
We'll have plenty of room there. It'll be grand.
Yeah. And then after, underneath those, then we have, you know, like what we would call like the classical architecture or Roman architecture. And that's where we see a lot of the Capitol style buildings in the United States, you know, or you have post offices. And I mentioned this before, lunatic asylums. And courthouses, just these beautiful, beautiful buildings. And these are the ones that you will very often find half the windows on the bottom are half buried. And so what happens is you have half of the window on the bottom is buried. And then you have to have steps to go up onto the first floor. When in fact, that probably was at the very least the second floor to begin
with. If not the third. And whenever you get into these buildings, and like out here, they've done all these drop ceilings. And you get into these buildings, the theaters, the courthouses, and then the ceilings, the actual ceiling in those buildings has got these intricate tiles that we can't reproduce today. You can make a copy of it out of plastic junk, but you can't reproduce that stuff. A lot of it's out of like copper, brass, you know, things like that, that it's like, whoa, can you even imagine?
And then they'll say they built this in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's what they try to tell you. Oh, this was built in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a fire there. There was a fire and then they refurbished it and that took another year. And it's like, what? How? Yep. How did that possibly happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people will say, well, they were very artistically craft, like they were craftsmen in those days. Everyone? Because it would have had to taken a lot of people to build something like that in 2 years.
They came all the way out here on covered wagons and they you know, did the Trail of Tears and brought all the Native Americans out here. And then they built all this stuff. Yeah.
Insane.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody, if you want to look up something that's a lot of fun, look up Guthrie, Oklahoma on Google Maps and just look at buildings in there. Guthrie was actually supposed to be the capital of Oklahoma instead of Oklahoma City. I think they changed their minds because they didn't want all the attention on Guthrie.
Oh, now I definitely want to go look at it.
you have got to. Visiting Guthrie, I'm going to have to take the camera. I keep telling Paul, he hates it whenever I go places. And I am such a homebody. And then I get so tired. I am such an introvert. But I told him, I said, I'm going to have to. There's several towns in Oklahoma, and especially in the northwestern part, that are just amazing. And whenever you go back to think that it was cowboys and Indians that built this while they were fighting or starving or whatever was going on, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. And I think you've been watching it lately. I just came across the channel My Lunch Break because a lot of people have been recommending that channel to me. So I started watching. I've only watched a few of his videos so far, but he does get into a lot of things that I never thought about, like how much water would it take all of these sources? You know, and he actually looks up how many pounds worth, for example, of bricks it would take.
My husband thinks about stuff like this. I think that's a man thing because he's got a ditcher, right? And he's got a backhoe. And so he's like just picking up these motors that run these pumping units. This motor costs or weighs so much, you know, and can you imagine these big blocks, you know, to build some of this stuff, to put under the foundation, to, and you get to looking at some of these buildings and stuff and those lower foundation blocks and underneath, and they're huge. And you're trying to figure out how they did that with horses. And you might be able to do something like that with horses once. But when you're talking about people who are trying to make a living out of sod and living in dugouts, no, it doesn't make sense when you have a very small population and nothing to work with, you know?
No. Yeah. And you know, that even thinking about that whole narrative is something else that My Lunch Break, I don't know if he was the one who originally like had this aha moment, but it certainly does seem like AI is what's writing a lot of these Wikipedia stories for these buildings, because we've talked before about all of the repetitive narratives going on. This person who has never been an architect for anything else, like, for example, with the Crystal Palaces, they won a contest. So many times they win a contest to design some sort of intricate building. They won a contest. They were never any sort of architect before. But
like
they
when we were in school and we won the poster contest and then they would put it up at the Capitol building or something like that.
Like, but they're building the Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and, but we're going to build this huge building. Yeah. Okay.
Give me the budget
and the materials to be able to do this. And
You
know, if you did do that and I actually accomplished it and I accomplished it within a year's time and you burnt that thing or tore that thing down, I would be upset. It's no wonder those quote unquote architects usually died a year or two later.
Oh, yes. They do. Yeah. And a lot of those buildings that you look at them and you're just like, wow, that is absolutely beautiful. Oh, it was torn down 10 years later, or it was condemned 20 years later. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Because if it happened to live very much longer, then in the 70s, it definitely came down or it was remodeled or something, because we know the hippies were questioning things and they were not believing the mainstream.
I had no idea.
I really think, of course, I've got my little thing on. I love my hippie people. My mom was a hippie, and I think a lot of them turned to drugs because they were awake before society could handle it. Right. And it was self-medication, you know.
Wow,
but if you can talk to some of these people today, they're like, it didn't make any sense. So much of what society was pushing them at didn't make any sense. And now we're seeing, and it's like, no, it didn't make any sense. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the way they did everything, you know, but yeah, I can't say that I blame them at this point.
And now we have all of this technology that I hate, but here I am using it though. That's how much I hate it, but I have a love-hate relationship with it. Let's just put it that way.
It's a tool.
But we have this technology that they put out there to, that I truly believe they put out there to control us, to drive the narrative, to get us to believe certain things. But then there are people like us who are, and a lot of us now, who are using what they meant for bad. We're using it to kind of expose
and
what they're up to.
And isn't that like God? To say, to allow the enemy to do his thing, what he wants to do, but then to turn, he said he will turn things around for good of those who love him. So,
probably like, you want to do that? You go right ahead, because guess what? You know? So fast. And so like, as we're thinking about these buildings, you know, I'm just thinking it's kind of like a leveling down of intricacy in each one. As we go down, they do get more simple over time. So I'm thinking, is this something where we talk about entropy all the time? Is it that people are losing these skills over time? Because things do break down over time and people lose skills over time. But I was also thinking, could it have been some sort of hierarchy? There are some who believe that these beautiful buildings were built by the saints in the millennial kingdom, which is something that we haven't brought up yet today. And I don't know if it's possible, but what could there possibly have been, not necessarily the millennial kingdom, but could there possibly have been some sort of hierarchy where the elites were living in these palaces and the cathedrals were healing centers? And then it kind of just went down. Like, even if you look at some of these communist countries nowadays, you will see these beautiful, intricate buildings that their rulers live in. And then you see the huts that everyone else is living in.
Yeah. You know? If you read some of the, I have a real affinity. I love old, old books. So give me a book from the earlier 1800s, the 1700s, letters, things like that. I recently listened to the audio of the complete Anna Karenina series, and it's a whole series, and it's a lot. It's about a lot more than Anna Karenina. And it talks about some of the buildings and explains some of the things. And I think he was slipping some truth in there at the time. And I think we've always had poor people. Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor. Right. So that's definitely a thing. But I also think that these different periods, I believe the Egyptian Empire was a worldwide empire. I believe the Babylonian Empire was a worldwide empire. And, you know, the Medes and the Persians, that was a worldwide empire. If God mentioned it in Daniel, it was bigger than what we think it is, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I really think a lot of those, now the Romans, I don't think the Romans built those really big things. I think they were reusing those. Some of those may have even been pre-flood, because they are way bigger than what we realize.
They were founded like many of the buildings here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying the Romans didn't build anything, but I don't think for any reason that a whole bunch of men in skirts and sandals built the Roman road. And then what are you going to say about the one in South America that's even bigger, that road? You know, that the Aztecs did it in naked, you know, or whatever.
Right. Not to mention the canal systems. You know, huge canals, and it's just,
and
it's
the aquifers and the whole thing. So I think a lot of that is misplaced in a different area. Yeah. I mean, the Babylonians had the hanging tower, or the hanging, what was it? The hanging garden.
Hanging gardens.
Yeah. So if he could do that, then he could do those waterways and stuff. I feel like
aqueducts.
The aqueducts. Yes, I think he could do a lot of that, because it would take that kind of technology to do the hanging gardens, to me. So he could have done canals and aqueducts and things like that. So I'm thinking some of the stuff we've just got in the wrong time period, and it's been attributed to the wrong people. So I think if we look at those different things and we think about it in the biblical sense of, these are the empires that God said would be world empires. then I think we can get a better idea of where things belong. Now, the pyramids, I don't think that was Egyptians. Right. I think that was pre-flood. But
I do think Egyptians did some stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's just so much. There's so much.
You could just keep going on and on and on forever with this topic.
Yeah.
But now that we have, I would love to hear. So let me tell everyone why I wanted Donita to talk about these. Now, Donita has mentioned before that she sees many cryptids in her area, which I always found to be extremely cool because I live in an area where there was one Bigfoot sighting in 2007. And I'm guessing it probably wasn't actually Bigfoot because the woods there are not very thick. So I'm thinking it was misidentification, but there's really nothing else around here that I know of. But she always mentions these cryptids. And the other day, she just casually mentioned that she had someone coming to her house who is a dogman hunter. And she just like went about with the rest of the conversation like it was nothing. And I'm like, wait, what? You have a dogman hunter coming to your house?
Yeah.
So tell us about where you live, Donita.
As a matter of fact, teaser, I am going to have him on my channel pretty soon. Yay. And I'm going to do an interview with him. So yes, Wily Dave is quite the character and he does dogman hunting. There is a huge podcast. I can't remember what they call it now, out of Oklahoma, where they specifically talk mostly to Oklahomans, but there's some in Arkansas and Texas and stuff about the sightings. You know, personal sightings. I started out seeing little people. I was abused and neglected as a child. So that opens doors for things. And I had people that would even visit us after we got married, before I cleaned house and was delivered, that would hear the imps that were in our house. So I was haunted. I always thought it was the places I was living, but I was the one that was haunted. So, you know, the land out here, I'm absolutely convinced that the land out here is cursed. And we've had a lot of people go through and pray for the land and stuff. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. But I feel like a lot of people don't understand the depth of the curses that are out here on the families and the lands. And sometimes if you come out and you pray for an area that you're not familiar with, you're causing to revive or you're causing spiritual battle for those people who actually live there. And it can actually make things worse for the people. So be careful, you know, because like Jesus said, if you have an empty house, that demon is just going to go and get some buddies and come have a party. So, you know, we need to be careful of those things.
Yes.
I pray a bubble of protection, not a hedge. God bless Job, but I pray a bubble of protection around our home because we have, and people out here regularly do see, we've seen dragons flying. We've seen what my daughter calls stock tanks in the sky. She was coming home one day and one of the truckers was stopped on the side of the road looking up in the sky. And so she stopped and she trying to figure out what he's doing. And she's like, oh, stock tank in the sky, huh? And he's like, is that what I think it is? She's like, yep.
Wow.
You know? So, you know, it's just kind of normal to our family. That's one of the nice things about homeschooling. You can raise open-minded people. So that's great. We're not so open-minded that our brains are falling out. But, you know, we, like I said, we threw away the box. But I pray that bubble of protection. And if somebody is really struggling with demons, they will not come onto our property. They will stay out by the mailbox. If they've got a teenager with them, they drive onto the property. The teenager will go out to the mailbox. And my children know what's going on. So they'll go out and talk to them by the road. you know, and wow. our children will stay on our side of the property and they will stay on the outside of the property. So, you know, and I've had, Catherine has had actually children bounce off of her bubble because she prays a bubble around herself. And she has had children who have been being abused bounce off of her bubble and say, whoa, what's wrong here? You know, so then no. So if they've got demons, then they know. So, and she saw a Bigfoot on her way home one night and crossing over. He was big enough that he stepped over the barbed wire fence. And the barbed wire fences are pretty tall to keep cows and stuff in, you know, and he just stepped over it without any problem at all. My husband has seen, when he was younger, he saw Bigfoot footprints out here. And yes, we have a team of guys that comes out every year. They hunt coyotes, but in the process, they also hunt dogman, and they have seen dogman out here. So
that is amazing. I will say, I did remember, it's not quite as boring as I was thinking here, because I have seen what I thought were two UFOs at some point. I don't know what they were, but it was just kind of, but it was nothing very defined. Both times it was a metallic glint in the sky that suddenly was no longer there. And it happened twice.
Well, and that's usually, I think that's how you know it is a real thing. Is you kind of get a feeling about it. You're going to get this creepy feeling. And it's something that's interdimensional. So it's not completely in our dimension. So that's why so many images of like Bigfoot and stuff are fuzzy, is because your camera isn't going to catch something that's not completely in this dimension all the time. And it depends on how much human DNA they have in them, how physical they are, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's actually what happened, because another thing that I remembered is, and I've told you this before, and I did mention it on my channel in one of the videos, how my two oldest daughters saw what they swear was a dragon the one morning in the sky. And my daughters, especially my oldest daughter, she's not one who, she doesn't get excited about things. She's very calm, very quiet, doesn't like attention. But she insists that they saw a dragon. They described it to me, and I tried showing them pictures of different types of birds. I thought maybe it was a crane, maybe it was a heron, because they said it had a tail. And I was thinking maybe, you know how on the herons, their skinny legs fold back when they're flying and can kind of look like a tail. And they said, no, that absolutely wasn't what it was. And same thing with them. It was just gone. It just was no longer there anymore.
Yeah, Paul actually got pictures of the one that we saw, but we can't find them, of course. You know, all of the electronic, everything's digital now, so it all ends up on the computer, and the computer is hooked up to the internet, so, you know.
It's up for grabs, pretty much. Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. Well, I thank you so much for being on here with me today. Thank you for sharing the stories of the wonderful place that you live. And I will share all of your links in the description box. So if anybody wants to check out her channel that has not done it already, it's Prairie Dust. And you can also find her at prairiedusttrail.com. And we also have a podcast together, which we don't get to upload to it as much as we would like, but I'll leave a link in the description box to that also. And yeah, so everyone else, if you like this video, give it a thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed yet and would like to hear more of what I have to say, I would love if you would do that. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave one here in the comment section. And if you like my work, you can check out my Patreon page, or Donita also has a Patreon page. I will leave links in the description box for that as well. And I hope you have a great day.